Welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary, the midday place to be. And we are reading through 2 Corinthians, and we are in chapter 10, and we are picking up at verse 14. The context here, again, is really, it's more relational, Paul's work among the Corinthians, their attitude towards him. There are those who will come back more clearly into view in chapter 11 and 12 and even 13, those who are opposing Paul or harassing him in some sense. But the point that he's making now, he's in the middle of making, is that he's just reminding them that he's their apostle, if I could say it that way, that his apostolic ministry is primary in relation to them, because his ministry, this was his kanon, this was his rule, or his standard, if you could say it that way. That's what that means in this context. So verse 14 is actually pretty easy, so I thought I'd just work that one verse for 25 minutes, and then we'll say, oh, we're out of time, and we won't have to deal with verse 15. But no, we'll be brave. So verse 14 might sound something read with a bland Midwestern accent like this. Ugar hos me ek, ephiknoumenoi eis himas, hyper ektenamen he autus, akrigar kai humon ephthasamen, ento evangelio tu Christu. And then it goes on with participles after that for a while. Now, we've got a lot of negating going on here. Happily, if we read the word order as it's given to us in the text, maybe we'll start with hos me ephiknoumenoi. Again, this is from ephikneomai. We had the infinitive, the aorist infinitive of that in the prior verse. It means to reach or to attain, to arrive at, something like that. And it's deponent. So as those who are not arriving or those who are not attaining unto you. That would be how you'd translate, or at least a little woodenly, the hos plus the participle there. And then we have to back up to the ou, and the ou is negating the verb hyper ektenamen, which is, not too surprisingly, from hyper ekteno, which means to overreach or to reach beyond or something like that. So we are not overreaching ourselves. And heautus there is the direct object, of course, of hyperectanamen. And now we have to modify the we with this hos phrase. So a translation, it's a little awkward. We are not overreaching ourselves as those who did not attain unto you, or something like that. Now, hos plus the participle can have actually a little more sophisticated meaning. Sometimes it actually can be reporting the subjective attitude of the participle's referent. So in that case, it would be translated something like, as those who did not think that they attained unto you. But in this context, that didn't seem to make much sense. So I think if we just do it a little more woodenly, just as those who did not attain unto you. Because as a matter of fact, as Paul will now explain, for until, akri plus the genitive, until even you, we phanoed. Phano means often, or most naturally, it means to reach ahead of time or to precede. But it can also have the less loaded value of just simply arrive. So, for instance, this is the verb in the famous saying of Jesus in Matthew 12. I think it's in Luke as well. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the reign of God has come upon you. That's just phthano, right? So here it's just the aorist indicative. There's the temporal augment. And again, the basic stem in the first principal part is phthon, and it's a little irregular, so you see the sigma, so this is just an aorist indicative active. See the alpha connecting vowel and the men first person plural ending. and then in the gospel of Christ. So, cleaning up all that mess, translating a little more clearly, we did not overextend ourselves as those who did not, we are not overextending ourselves as those who are not attaining unto you, for we arrived also unto you in the gospel of Christ. Some sort of rendering like that. And again, this is relational, and Paul is recalling and emphasizing his relationship with them. So, questions?
That verb,
yep. It's actually a present indicative, right? Hyperekteno. Yeah, so there's no augment, and Omicron would be the connecting vowel for, you know, the present indicative, right? So, yeah. Okay. Now, notice that, I actually looked it up because I don't know quite precisely what to do with all the negation that's coming up. In older Greek, and to be honest, I don't actually even know all the rules of when you use ou and its forms and when you use me and its forms. But in the New Testament, the rule of thumb, which works almost always, is that ou is used to negate indicative mood verbs, and may is used to negate everything else, subjunctives, optatives, imperatives, unless you have a special construction like ou may plus the aorist subjunctive or something like that for a prohibition. And you see that followed here. This is why I thought to take the ou with the verb that's so far away, because that's normally the way you would negate an indicative mood verb. And the may goes with the participle. But now we have an ook with which verse 15 begins, but we have no indicative verb in sight. So I'm not entirely sure what to do with that, but we won't let that stop us. We'll just we'll go forward unless there are comments or questions about verse 14. So maybe there's a reason why 2 Corinthians. Yeah. I mean, right. So. You see a form of ooh, and you normally think, oh, I need an indicative mood verb here somewhere. Yeah, and you attach it that way. Right. Okay, well, let's just forge right ahead then. Let's just do verse 15. Uk esta amatra kaukomenoi en a la triois kapois. Elpida de ekantis. Auxanomenes tes pistaos humon, en humin megalunthenai katatan kanona hemon eis periseon. I read this morning and I just started praying. I mean, I said, what? Here's our first problem. Ook, again, you'd normally expect an indicative, but there isn't one. You have a participle, kaukomenoi, from, you know, means boasting, right? Kaukaomai, which is deponent, middle deponent. So what are you going to do? You could. I entertained a couple of options here in my fevered imagination. You could heavily go with ook and say, okay, we need to manufacture an indicative. And the way you could do that is to suppose that the participle there is actually an elided periphrasis. And elided periphrasis would be a good name for a band, right? See? Let's give it up for elided periphrasis, right? Right. It wouldn't be a successful band, but it would be a good name. But it is the case, and I did check this out also in Nigel Turner's syntax book, and then Stanley Porter's medium-sized grammars. They usually end up saying this, that the rule of thumb for negating indicatives with forms of ooh is only that, a rule of thumb, and there are actually exceptions to the rule. So it might just be easier to take the ook there as negating the participle. And then we need a referent. We need a masculine plural nominative referent, right? Because verbal adjectives, like all adjectives, have a referent with which they typically agree in gender number case. And in this case, I think we could reach back to the main verb of verse 14, we. hyperektainomen. If there was a we expressed, it would be a masculine plural nominative we, right? And so I think we can make this participle in verse 15, in fact, both of them, kaukomenoi and after the de, echantes, in the next line, we can take as the referent of both of those participles the we of we are not hyperextending ourselves. And then you might take the participles then, at least in my head, it makes sense to take them as expressing perhaps manner. Sometimes it's called a modal participle, and you translate by. We are not hyperextending ourselves by boasting. Now I've got too many negatives, right? Well, we'll just pretend that's right. By not boasting eis ta ametra to the unmeasurable things, and the lexicon and others suggest that this means beyond limit. By boasting beyond limit in the labors that are alatrios. Alatrios is an adjective, and it means pertaining to another. So in another's works, labors. Rather, the de there is actually in context a fairly strongly contrastive. This is what we're doing. By having, or as we have hope, now there's a genitive absolute inserted, right? Perhaps temporal. While your faith is being increased, or maybe just intransitively, while your faith is growing. This is from auxano, be a present participle, probably passive. And the referent is the genitive faith. So that's, in a sense, it's almost a parenthetical comment. So we'll go back. Having the hope to be magnified, megalinthenai, among you, according to our rule, unto abundance. And here the sense seems to be, I checked again a couple of commentaries, that what Paul is saying here is we're actually hoping that you will highly regard us, having the hope. So in that sense, as I thought about how would I label that infinitive megalinthenai, it might be almost the equivalent of indirect discourse. That is to say, hoping that we be magnified, if that makes at least some tolerable sense. And that we be highly regarded like this according to our rule, according to our standard, right? Again, and really it's all relational. It's all about patching up the relationship that had gone south, that had gone bad between Paul and the Corinthian congregations. And we would like also then to be magnified eis periseion, unto abundance, right? So there is a reason why elementary Greek students do not read 2 Corinthians. I mean, there is a very good reason why you typically read the Gospel of John. I like to tell Dr. Shuckard that the Gospel of John is the see Dick run, run Dick run gospel. And then that makes him mad. And but his knees are bad, so I can outrun him. There are not many people anymore that I can actually outrun. So. Does that make tolerable sense? That's a very... I puzzled over these verses for a while this morning. So, any comments, questions? Okay. We're not done, by the way. We have eis plus an infinitive followed by another infinitive. So this is all one sentence. So we'll take that as hanging off of having the hope. And then verse 16 would read, eis ta hyper ekkeina humon evangelizasthai uk en ala trio kanone eis ta hetoima kau kesasthai. Now, eis plus the infinitive. obviously can express purpose, unto, to preach the beyond of you places. Again, this is kind of a Tonto translation. Hyper ekena is actually an adverb. And Paul has put, or his amanuensis, has put an article on it. And so it's the beyond of you things. And it's actually normally taken, apparently, to refer to regions beyond Corinth. So having the hope unto to preach the gospel, how would we render that? With respect to the regions beyond you, or something like that. Oh, no, I'm making it harder than it is. The ace goes with ta hyper ekena. Good, nice catch. So, to preach the gospel unto the regions beyond you. And then, note the repeated theme of Paul not building on another person's work, another apostle's work. Not in relationship or to in according with the rule or standard which is pertaining to another one, a la tria, to boast into the things that are ready. And I don't know what that means, but that's what it says. So that's what we'd like to do, Paul says, is we have the hope to be magnified among you and to preach the gospel even further out, not to boast in the work of another, and perhaps for the things prepared for another, or something like that. It's relatively awkward. So, good. Well, that was kind of an ordeal. Any comments? Tom, you're frowning. Go for it.
I was still trying to sort out what Tom kind of what the sense is here. Is it standard or rule, but is the sense here kind of like station or office?
Yes. Yeah. Jump up to verse 13. I think that's the first time it occurs in this context. We will not boast beyond measure, but according to the measure of the standard which God apportioned to us. Yeah. So in some sense, it refers to Paul's apostolic task, that God gave it to Paul to go to Corinth to preach the gospel there for the first time and so forth. So, yeah. Yeah, rule, standard, norm. But again, in context, that's what it means, but the referent is probably something very close to what you suggested.
I was also wondering, can ook negate not necessarily the verb or the participle, but can it negate a phrase?
Well, I thought about that, yeah.
Can it be negating ice ta amitra? And here it's really focusing on negating that last.
Right. Well, almost anything is possible, yeah. I think the preference is if you have a verb form close at hand, you know, it'll negate a verbal form. But I actually thought about that as well.
Because in Hebrew, I know below can yeah. negate the verb, but sometimes it will attach and
right.
negate other elements.
Right, right. So boasting, let's see, how would that work then? Let's try it on. Boasting, not beyond measure in the labors of another. Yeah, I'm not quite sure how best to go here. And of course, that's really thorough commentary by Ralph Martin in the Word Biblical Commentary. He just, what does he say? He says something like, the participle is peculiar here. That's all he says. I'm like, Dr. Martin, help me out here, you know? Yeah, no, he doesn't. And Alford's Greek Testament, actually, he says that verse 15 is in apposition to verse 14. I couldn't actually make sense of that. So I felt happy that the big shots who are dead, well, Martin's not dead, but they didn't know either, so I feel good about that. So verse 17 is pretty easy. You want to read that one? Okay. All right. In fact, we'll do 17 and 18. And I didn't actually look at verse 18, so you guys help me on this, and then we'll stop, I think. Paul likes this verse, by the way. He's quoted it already in 1 Corinthians 1. Ha de kaukomenos en kyrio kaukasto, u gar ha heoton sinestanon, ekenos esten dokimos, ala han ha kyrios sinestesin. So the well-known reference from Jeremiah there, you can see it in the side note. The boasting guy, let him boast in the Lord. Or I suppose you could read it, let the one who boasts in the Lord boast. And of course, the let translation is caused by the English problem of not having a third person imperative. So you could render it, the one who boasts must boast in the Lord, or something like that. And why would that be? Verse 18 explains, for not the one presenting himself, or not the one commending himself. Synestanon is a present participle. Histemi is such a hard verb that you get a simpler formulation in Hellenistic Greek. You actually get, instead of awkward forms of histemi, you get histano, which is easier to parse and easier to deal with. And that's what this is from. It's from synestano. So not the presenting himself guy or commending himself guy, that one is approved, dokimos. So the ekenos is sort of resumptive, Tom, kind of like Hebrew would do it, you know. Rather, that one is approved, dokimos, whom the Lord approves or presents, right? And this is, you know, earlier in Corinthians, Paul says, I don't even commend myself. I don't justify myself. The Lord is the one who justifies, and so forth and so on. So, I heard it said about ministry that you get yourself in trouble when you start believing the press releases. And, of course, that's a reference to what people are saying about you, either bad or good. See, you can obviously get into real discouragement if people are saying bad things about you and you believe them and make this your ultimate evaluation. But you can also get into trouble if you believe the good things that people are saying about you. Oh, pastor, you're a lot better than our other pastor. You know, that's called the road to perdition, which would not be a good name for a band. Time to stop Greek Club. Look at this. We're in chapter 11 next week. Thank you for coming.